Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Mavs fans, next game is coming up against the Clippers tomorrow, and then I believe you go to Los Angeles for the next one. So back-to-back with the Clips as Bobby Carella, one of our favorite Mavs talkers in the world, joining us now. You can read his stuff at All City Dallas. And a good afternoon to you, Bobby. Thanks for joining us again here on The Fan, man. How the heck are you?
It is good to be back with you guys. I think the last time that we talked, things weren't too good. Yeah. Hey, it's turned around quite a bit since then.
This is amazing, you know, and I'm picking the Mavs to go to the finals. I know we have to negotiate OKC, but the kind of basketball they've been playing is great. And, you know, what I wanted to start with was, how is the offense evolving here, asking Luka to speed it up? And are we playing more Kyrie style like this? What do you say?
I think that it's a little bit of both of those things. So Luka is definitely making an adjustment because he's not on the ball as much. He's not dribbling as much. He doesn't, you know, his time of possession is down like 1 or 2 minutes per game from last season. His usage rate is down, actually at like career lows. He's spending more time spotting up. Almost half of his made threes this season have been assisted, and this is a guy who last year hit like 200 or 300 step backs. I mean, he creates his own offense, but this year he has been the end point of possessions as opposed to the start and the end point, you know. And part of that is his adjustment to get Kyrie more touches or get Najee Marshall more touches or whatever. But part of it is also just, you know, Luka knows after going to the finals last year, you know, we watched them beat the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Wolves with Luka exhausted and banged up and injured for most of that run. You know, by the time they finally got to the finals, it looked like he was running on fumes. And I know, you know, some fans feel very strongly about his conditioning level, but also, you know, the Mavs have just asked him to do so much throughout the regular season for so long on offense that it feels like he's got nothing left on defense. And sometimes he runs out of gas in the playoffs too. But this year he's playing probably the best defense of his career, and he's touching the ball less than he has at any other point in his career. And I feel like that's not a coincidence.
Was there any truth to the idea that his absence was like remedial conditioning needed?
I don't know. I'm inclined to not think so, because he has been pretty banged up and he hasn't even practiced the last 2 days. And apparently there's some doubt about his potential availability for tomorrow's game against the Clippers. But I'll believe that when I see it, because that dude hates the Clippers like I hate Sunday nights. Like, he is very anti-LA. So, you know, we'll see. But I think he's just nursing everything. But it also is one of those things where, you know, they now know, again, having been all the way to June, the best way to give themselves the best chance to make it out of this Western Conference is to make it to April and May and June with a really healthy, really fit Luka and Kyrie. And Kyrie's gotten off to such a good start this year that, and Luka, meanwhile, kind of hasn't by his standards. And so if you're able to get Luka some rest now, you know, and then eventually I'm sure it'll be Kyrie's turn to maybe, you know, skip some second nights of back-to-backs and things like that. That's how you keep them fresh for the home stretch and for a potential playoff push.
Bobby, the Mavs since November 15th have been the NBA's best three-point shooting team. They're hitting a ridiculous 45% of their threes. I don't think that's sustainable, but being a top two or three three-point shooting team in the league, do you feel like that's sustainable? And wasn't that really a huge plan of bringing in Klay Thompson and revamping this thing?
Yeah, I think they are on paper definitely a top five caliber three-point shooting team, if not better, you know, depending on the night. And they have been pretty combustible over the last few games. I mean, they're shooting 45, 50% most nights these days, which is insane to see. I mean, like the other night in Golden State made 27 threes, which is the most threes ever in a loss. They were 27 of 54 from three, and they had the second highest three-point shooting percentage in the game. Like, the Mavs shot 51% from three, so they're red hot. I mean, that's definitely part of the plan because of the way that OKC and Boston specifically defended the Mavs in the playoffs. I mean, they were just leaving Derrick Jones open. OKC very famously left P.J. Washington open, and he made them pay. You know, this year, P.J. got off to a bit of a slow start, but he's starting to heat up. You go out, you get, you know, Najee Marshall, who was a career best 40-something percent from the corner last year. You get Quentin Grimes, who the first 2 years of his career, he was about 45, 46% from the corner. And then Clay, and, you know, Clay obviously is the linchpin of the whole thing. But, you know, if you go to the DLS Sports YouTube channel, a couple weeks ago, I did this film breakdown about how even though, like, Clay's individual numbers at the time weren't very impressive, he still has this impact on floor spacing because a lot of times teams are face guarding him. Like, they are staying home on him in ways that we just frankly haven't seen defenders do against Dallas. Generally, teams want to double Luka or double Kyrie to, you know, for two things. One, to get the ball out of their hands. But secondly, to leave a bad shooter open. Well, what if the shooter in the weak side corner is one of the best three-point shooters of all time? Like, you know, teams have to you know, weigh those risks. And oftentimes, they were face-guarding Clay. Over the last couple weeks, though, we've seen teams start to double-team Luka and Kyrie more. And so it's no surprise that Clay's productivity has gone up in that time. I mean, we're really seeing this pick-your-poison aspect of the Mavs' offense play out in real time. And, you know, that's been good to see. But can they sustain it for 82 games? And then for 16 more, you know, only time will tell.
What do you think about this shakeup among the front office? You got Sint Marshall, who's leaving after 7 years in the organization today, appointing Rick Welts, the new CEO, who has background with Golden State. I know Clay was pretty pumped about this move, it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, that dude is a lifer. You know, he started his career as a ball boy in Seattle when he was like 16 years old. So he's worked in the NBA longer than many of us have been on this earth. And in every role, you know, along the way, I think his main area of focus, and this has, you know, been pretty explicitly stated by him and by Patrick DeMont and the Mavs ownership group, is, you know, he had a huge hand in building the Warriors Stadium, the Chase Center in San Francisco. And, you know, crucially for Mavs fans, you know, the Warriors own that stadium. So any event that happens there, any game, any concert, anything, that cash goes in the owner's pockets. And NBA teams are very expensive to put together these days. You know, luxury tax prices are steep. It takes a lot of cash to, you know, put out a competitive roster and a championship roster. And, you know, the Adelson family is very wealthy. You know, they're worth like $33 billion or whatever. But if you're able to get a stadium built with your own cash, with your own capital, you reap the rewards of all that in terms of profits, and you're able to pour that back into your team to build the best facilities, to field the most competitive roster, to have the best everything. You know, so hopefully that's just another advantage that the Mavs can have in the marketplace when it comes to attracting stars, keeping stars, you know, keeping everybody happy and all that stuff. So, I mean, Rick is, he's a basketball legend. He's a Hall of Famer as an executive. You don't see that happen very often. And, you know, it was a really, really nice job by Patrick DeMont and the Mavs.
Hey, Bobby, with the Mavs getting bounced out of this tournament, was it actually a blessing for them when you look at how the schedule played out for them and it allowed them to – they were on the road, a bunch of sick guys and stuff like that. Did not going further in this tournament kind of help them a little bit?
I think in one respect, yes, because they did get so much time off. But on the other hand, it meant that they have to play an extra road game at OKC, and that is okay. That is brutal luck of the draw. You know, this.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Here it's 4 games against the Thunder for them, and 3 of them are at OKC. Mm. Now, if you're willing, and I, for the most part, am willing to trade one really tough game or maybe one loss or 5 or 6 days off for Luka and Kyrie, I am absolutely taking that all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Because if the Mavs had played a normal stretch of schedule during that 5 or 6 day stretch,
right,
there's a pretty good chance Luka or Kyrie would have missed the game anyway for rest. So, I would make that trade. But I don't think there's enough data really on the NBA Cup to know. I mean, the Lakers last year won it, and then they, flamed out pretty bad in the playoffs. So I don't know if there is some sort of, lingering effect of having played that 83rd game, or, a more travel, more intense schedule. This year the Thunder played 83 games, and so maybe they'll have a little less in the tank come playoff time whenever they meet the Mavs. So, but we'll see. I mean, I think any days off that Luka and Kyrie can get are huge, huge wins for the Mavs.
It's Bobby Carella, All City Dallas. You said DLL Sports on YouTube for your stuff?
DLLS. So yeah, Dallas with no vowels.
Got it. I just subbed for you. Looking forward to your content.
Got
to
sub.
What are you seeing? I'll like the video too. What are you seeing as a lively as a vocal leader here in year two?
Man, he's really mature. He's really, really mature. And, this was, let's rewind back to the Mavs loss in Utah that dropped them to, I think, 5-7. It was their 4th loss in a row. Lively was in foul trouble that entire game. He finished the game with 5 fouls. I think he might have only played 11 or 12 minutes. And it kind of felt like at the time, like, man, is he taking a step backward from last year? Like, I thought foul trouble was a thing of the past, and he can't stay on the floor, and he's struggling with some physical guys like Jokic. I mean, who doesn't? But even with centers that aren't as physical and aren't as talented as Jokic. But since then, he's averaging 2.3 fouls a game over his last 12 or 15 games. He's dominating. He is switching on the guards and holding his own. The Mavs go back to Denver a week or two after losing to the Nuggets, and Lively comes up with 2 huge blocks on Jokic in crunch time. He's making big time defensive plays, and if he can switch on to smaller players like he is now, if he can do that consistently, onto wings and even guards, then he has a very rare ability as a center to impact virtually every single defensive possession down the floor. No matter where he is on the floor, he can make an impact, whether it's blocking a shot, contesting or altering a shot, deterring a shot, or switching out onto a smaller player and keeping the ball in front of him. Like, that is a very, very rare short list of players who can do it. It starts with Wimby. You think of guys like maybe Rudy Gobert. Like, that's kind of the caliber of defender that he can be. and that he's already in the process of becoming. And then, you know, from a leadership and, you know, fire and intensity standpoint, you know, he's kind of becoming this team's Tyson Chandler. And I mean, that is just, that's really exciting and really impressive because he can't even drink yet legally.
It's amazing.
Bobby Corella, a trade season unofficially underway. We're seeing the Mavs, or we were at least about a week or two ago, mentioned in a lot of rumors. They were favored in Vegas to land Herb Jones, the terrific two-way player out of the Pelicans. You know, are they lighting up the phones? Are they looking to make something happen here, or is this just chatter?
Everything I've heard, you know, from Tim Cato, Mark Stein, who are over here with me at DLLS, I mean, they insist that the Mavs are not in on Jimmy Butler. They also say that the Mavs, like every other NBA team, would love to have Herb Jones. I mean, that's an all-defensive caliber player on a, you know, bench player contract. I mean, who wouldn't want that guy? The way I see it, though, you know, given the Mavs' financial restrictions, they are hard-capped at the first apron, and they are about $1 million away from that, which means they cannot take back hardly any more money in a trade. Like, they have to match virtually dollar for dollar. So unless it's going to be, you know, they have a lot of guards that aren't making a lot of money, guys like Dante Exum, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jaden Hardy. You know, so unless they want to turn one of those players into a wing or one of those players into a big, you know, and kind of like a straight-up swap or maybe add a pick to sweeten the deal a little bit, I don't see how they're going to make like a massive, super impactful trade or any sort of complicated like 2-for-1 or 3-for-2 kind of deal. But then again, you know, the Mavs have not let a trade deadline or draft day go without making a trade in like 4 years. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to do. But my expectation is that if they do make a trade, it would probably be trading a wing or a guard with maybe a second rounder or something to add a little bit of size, because PJ Washington is so dang valuable to this thing. But when he is hurt, when he's in foul trouble, when he's having an off night, the Mavs are losing almost every single game, you know, whenever that is, no matter the opposition. And so, you know, I don't want them to be in a situation where, you know, you're getting ready for round one, PJ sprains his ankle in practice, and now your season's over. You know, so I think they need to shore that area up for sure.
What's your take on the three-pointers ruining the TV product?
I don't think it's ruining it at all. The one thing that I want to sympathize with the audience on this, you know, people like me and people in the media will bash everyone over the head with like, not only is this the most efficient way of playing basketball, but also like skill is at an all-time high. But then you look at shooting percentages and you're like, okay, well, even the best players miss 60% of their threes, you know, and the worst ones miss 75 or 80% of their threes. So, you know, you're telling me that this is a skill game, but all I'm seeing is just more misses, you know? So I want to understand where the fans are coming from and everything, but I mean, at the same time, you know, bad shooters are going to miss, but then good shooters are going to hit. And that Mavs-Warriors game the other night was one of the funnest games I've ever seen in my life. Like, I wish every game could be like that, because they were knocking down shots and it was awesome. So, you know, I do believe skill is at an all-time high. I do believe that the game is fun to watch. But, I mean, you know, we in the league, media, we have to meet fans where they are. And if fans have issues with stuff, I mean, that's what gets, you know, rules changed and policies changed. And hopefully, you know, I would love the refs to swallow their whistle a little bit more than they have been. And we can see some good physical play come back to the game to blend right alongside with this all-time skill.
Is Irving still over 50% from three? What's your prediction on where that number is in 60 more games?
Oh my God, it would be awesome if he was like 48, 49% from three. That dude is incredible. I mean, he missed one the other night in Golden State. He missed it by like an inch. It hit like all around the rim like five times and then rolled out. And I was like, that is so unfair. But I mean, he's shooting at it just a level that I haven't seen. And he's taking like five or six threes a game too. It's not like he's just putting up one or two. He is unbelievable, dude. So again, I mean, that just underscores the importance of, I need him to be shooting and playing and moving and looking like this in April and May. Like, these games right now are cool, but they have more important ones on the horizon. And I want to see Kyrie at his best whenever they're playing those games.
Anything else, Bobby, that's top of mind on these Mavs we got to know before we let you go?
Not really. They're back home. You know, this is a good chance to hopefully get some wins and more importantly, to get some rest, you know, stay off airplanes for a little while. And I'm looking forward to the Christmas game against Minnesota. I think that'll be a lot of fun, but these are the glory days, boys. Enjoy them.
Thanks, Bobby. We will. You too, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, DLLS. sports there on your YouTube if you want to watch his video breakdowns as well. The video breakdowns in the NBA are just getting so delicious in these video formats. Mm-hmm. You know, and the amount of education they can pack into 8 or 10 minutes is incredible.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.